Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
When you're done catching up with old Dan Cummins, put him on hold and we'll chat it up.
Hello, hello.
Oh, look at you, you handsome son of a bitch.
How you doing, man?
How you doing, man? Good to hear your voice, brother.
Yeah, it's good to hear you.
You're down in New Orleans. I worried about you. I wondered what would happen. It was Halloween, you and your girls, bad magic everywhere.
I was thinking about you when I was down in New Orleans. I know we keep talking about it, but we gotta get together down there sometime. But I was thinking about you before Halloween. I met a buddy about a week early, and him and I did. I feel like you had been right on board for this. We dropped acid around noon, and then just wandered around the quarter, and we ended up going into the Museum of Death, and that is not a good place to be inside.
No, it's way too many. It's all fluorescent lights, and it's very small. And then, did you go in the weird little movie theater?
Yes, I had to go to the bathroom when I was there, and so I had to go in the movie theater. And I was like, nope. Literally watching people die.
Oh, the Museum of Death is in L.A. It's one thing, in New Orleans it's another, and the weirdest part is that's G.G. Allen's brother that owns.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's a super weird place. But I always want to drop acid while I'm in New Orleans because I want to go do the scene from Easy Rider over in the cemetery.
Where he
climbs up on top. And
statue.
I would have demanded that. We would have had to, literally, even though we're all going to get arrested, we'd have gone to the goddamn. And it's just, by the way, it's literally down the street from the Museum of Death.
Yeah, St. Louis number one.
Yeah.
Is where they have a. Yep.
Climb up on top of that where they were eating acid. Remember, it was Jack Nicholson. It was Jack Nicholson climbed up, wasn't it? Or was it Peter Fonda?
It was Peter Fonda.
It was Peter Fonda climbed up. You know what? Sometimes it's worth it to go to jail.
Oh, it is such a fun place, though. I mean, outside of that, the museum is such a fun place to be in that headspace, though, because all the little weird art galleries.
Yes.
I was laughing so hard the next day because I remember like as I was like peeking. I went into this one art gallery, and they were playing this creepy music, you know, October and the quarter, and they had these really surreal paintings that were, like, you know, moving because of the shadows and stuff where my head was at. And the gallery owner came out, and I must have been so weird because I sweat so much on that stuff. So I'm just, like, covered in sweat, big old pupils, and just being like, wow, oh, whoa. This is so intense.
There's no way they don't know. Your pupils are the size of dinner plates, and you're doing the mega acid smile. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, I just remember her being like, "Do you want a card, or are you interested in looking at these?" And I just said something to the effect of like, "I am not in the headspace to make decisions."
Dude, I feel like you were at that gallery. I even know the one you're at. You were at the gallery. It was on a corner, right? It's towards the river, over on, goddammit, not Bourbon, the one up from it.
Like Royal?
Yeah, on Royal Street, yes.
I think so. It's hard, like, it was all kind of a blur. I wandered around there for like 6 hours, but I went to a bunch of them, but that was probably the one. And I just remember when I told her, she finally connected what was happening, and I just remember her doing this cartoonish pivot and just speed walking away from me.
Have you ever given yourself up on drugs where you just go ahead and you just go ahead and belch out the truth? I'm on mushrooms. I'm on mushrooms right now.
I'm the worst for that. And like my buddy Will was like, stop telling everybody. And I'm like, yeah, but they know. And he's like, I don't think they know. But I feel like uncomfortable. And so, oh, yeah, I'll just blurt it out. And like if the things get weird for even a moment, I'm like, sorry, I'm on acid. And
this is
so fun.
Where it goes crazy. Because, I mean, you're one of those, you're a seeker. This is your inherent nature. Nature is to be, to look for something more, to find that crevice, that crack, that alleyway that goes somewhere else, whether it be through weird mind expansion with some kind of psychedelics or just information, man. I mean, that's what makes Time Suck so goddamn good, your podcast. It is, like, let's talk Menendez Brothers. I can't decide.
Oh, my gosh.
At first, I was like, they're for sure guilty. Then I was like, well, maybe the guy was banging him, and they had to kill him. And then you're like, but you killed your mom, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I think they did it. I mean, I just remember. I think they did it and also were not molested. I don't think the dad molested. I remember looking into that angle pretty hard when we did that episode, and it seemed to me like they suffered from affluenza. It felt like their dad was just like Jose. Spoiled them so much and constantly was getting them out of trouble, and they never had to, pay the consequences for anything they did. And, you know, not long before they were killed, he was threatening to cut them off. He had, like, had enough of their stuff. He's like, I got to cut you guys off so you guys can go out there and make your own way. And that's when they died. And then they got all the money. And the way they acted right after they killed their parents, they went on these crazy spending sprees immediately. They're, like, buying all these watches and fancy cars and... I don't know. It just didn't feel like they had been really like traumatized or anything. The whole thing was really weird around it. And just looking into so many other murders over the years where people were brutalized and then got their revenge, it didn't feel that way at all to me. It felt like two really spoiled kids who only wanted their parents' money were about to get cut off and then coldly just killed their parents so they could keep having that money.
Here's the thing. I always hear some weird Night at the Roxbury gone dark whenever I look at that story, and I know that's the weirdest thing in the world. But I'm just like, it is true though, right? The affluenza is a real thing. Affluenza, for those of you guys who don't know, it's the idea is that you have so much access to so much excess, and nothing is real in your life that you truly become sick. You truly become terrible inside.
Yeah, just so much narcissism. It's like the rest of the world is just a bunch of cartoon characters. And all that matters is, you and what you want. Lyle did one of the funniest things I've ever read about right after he killed his parents. His dad was this big, successful businessman, and he wanted to be a businessman, but he was a complete idiot. And but he had all this money. He opened up this investment, Menendez Investment Enterprises. He rented this space in this mall in Princeton, New Jersey, and he hired a bunch of, like, quote-unquote investors. They literally never invested in anything. He didn't know what he was doing. He would just go to his office. He had this office set up. It reminds me of, like, that old episode of Seinfeld where Kramer gets this business job, and he shows up with a briefcase, and he goes to an office, and finally they look inside the briefcase, and it's just a bunch of saltine crackers. Like, he has no idea what he's doing.
Right. Yeah, totally.
And that's what they did. He was doing stuff like that. They're so weird. He just spent weeks having meetings with these people he hired, and they did nothing. It was just gibberish. They never invested in a single thing, but they had the office. They wore the suits. They showed up with the briefcases. They had meetings. They had a secretary. Not one piece of business.
Swear to God, Night at the Roxbury again. It just happens again.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's. And what about the San Francisco witch killers? Let's talk about this. I didn't know about this, by the way.
That is like the San Francisco witch killers is like a story. It's like a PSA against psychedelics. Actually, it's like how they're not for everybody.
Because true.
This couple, mentally unstable couple down in Arizona. This was like in the mid 70s. These two people meet Michael and Susan, and Susan was like real new agey and super like mystical. And she was also just a dirtbag. She was like the mom who was sleeping with her 17-year-old son's friends, coming by the house all the time.
Right.
The only piece of furniture she had in her place was literally a waterbed, and the rest were just like plants and crystals. And she shows up at this party out of her mind on acid and then sees this guy whose actual name is James Carson, and is like, you're my soulmate, and your name is Michael. And he just goes with it. And they have some crazy nights. They showed up at the party with other dates. They end up hooking up that night while she's on acid. The next day, he abandons his family pretty much and just gives up everything to be with her. And they just doing lots of hallucinogens and getting weirder and weirder with their new age talks, but then also kind of some Christianity and then also some Islam. And they arrive at this place where they think that she's this important prophet, and there's going to be a war that's going to break out on the border of Oregon and California, and witches are on one side of the war, and they're on the other, and they dedicate themselves to killing so-called witches. The head witch, by the way, Ronald Reagan, so I thought that was an interesting left turn.
Of course.
Yep. I thought it'd be Nancy. Nancy had a more witch-like look to me.
Sure.
But they went Ronald. And then they just spend the next couple of years bouncing around the West Coast between San Francisco and Oregon, like living like these weird hermity kind of creature lives. Like they would just squat in these cabins out in the woods, have nothing. They would sell weed, try and grow weed in these cabins around like Mendocino County and stuff. And
yeah.
Up there, oh my gosh, the like Humboldt County, where all the weed.
And that's where all the people get killed too, man. There was a ton of marijuana weed murders in Humboldt.
They killed one of the people on that mountain that they made the documentary about.
Yeah.
Like they were one of the murderers. They killed somebody because, you know, they thought they were a witch, and they had to kill them. And then they would just kill somebody, and then they would just start hitchhiking and just go bouncing up the West Coast for like years. Right, he wrote this manifesto. He wrote two actually about all the witches and. Oh, my God. It was just such a weird case.
And this ties into, like, the Grove and that whole area and all the powerful people up there. Like, in my head, I'm like, well, of course, because that's Ronald Reagan, right? But, yeah, no.
Right.
We are such – what's the old – it's an old cliche. It's easier to fool people than convince them they've been fooled. Once you get something crazy in your head like QAnon, like the QAnon thing, that you're literally going, it wasn't enough – I believe people molest children. I do believe that. I believe powerful people have sex with underage girls, and they want 16, 17-year-olds. Do I believe that satanic people have sex with them first, and then barbecue and eat what you just effed, and then also their adrenal gland thing? Like, it's too much of a hodgepodge. It's too much of a hodgepodge. Like, nobody wants to eff it and then eat it. Nobody. There's nobody in that world.
Yeah, they all do the same thing with these conspiracies. Any people like these San Francisco witch killers, they would have fit totally. I think I said that in the episode. They would have totally blended in with QAnon.
Yeah.
But it's like those groups, they always take it to the most extreme. Like it has to be the most cartoonish. And my theory on why they do that is because these people were raised to believe in Satan. They're raised to believe that there's this magical being who's all-powerful, who is constantly trying to manipulate you. Because if you step back and just look at, like, the story of Christianity and the devil, it's not any less crazy than these kind of other stories. But so many of us were, you know, raised on that.
Sure.
We just kind of accept it as part of our culture. And then when these other things happen, we're like, oh, my God, that's so crazy. I'm like, is it more crazy than this deity who's like, I'm going to kill my baby boy so you can live with grandma with harps on the clouds? It's like... Is that really any less crazy?
Dude, you remember the satanic panic of the 80s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fascinated with that.
Oh, the
best.
Because
they had speakers going around touring the country talking about, like, which, you know, how to interpret the signs so you knew where the cults were. And these people were idiots. They were basing their lectures in absolutely nothing. It was all just made-up nonsense. It's like the West Memphis Three. They were crucified.
Sure.
Because of that satanic panic. There was one guy on that investigation who had a real hard-on for Satan and was convinced these goth kids were in a satanic cult, and he was able to manipulate the police and everybody into joining him on that, and they just completely railroaded those guys.
Yeah. No. It was a complete railroad. We interviewed Damien. Was Damien?
Oh, yeah, Damien Nichols?
Yeah, Damien Nichols, multiple times, probably five times.
Very smart guy.
Oh, incredibly smart, and definitely a weirdo, for the record. But why would you not be weird at this point in your life after living your entire first half of your life on death row for something you never did, being vilified as, you know, a satanic killer? But they were taking all of this heavy metal fashion, and they're like, if the kid makes a six, and they literally, I remember watching these videos, they'd show you how you could make a six if you're making the horns, the Texas Longhorn deal. You could find a six inside here, a six inside here, and a six here. And crazy. They're like, if you have a chain, if you have a candle, if you happen to have a Blacklight poster, if you have an Iron Maiden record, if you have...
If you play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. And that was the answer to everything. The satanic panic of the 80s was pretty kick-ass. I kind of miss it. Now,
right.
Now it's a little too, this is a little too real now. Like, that was a good time. Like, you knew if you went to a concert, it was Ozzy, and there was somebody out there who'd hand you a little pamphlet that looked like a cool pamphlet, but when you opened it, it was like, you're going to burn forever. Like, it was going to be a great show. You knew that was the signal.
Right.
It'll be so good. Now I'm afraid to go to the election. I got to go vote today. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, these people are crazy.
Oh, yeah. I'm like way more nervous just to go to a polling or a voting booth, you know, and kind of deal with the people also waiting to vote than I would be for any quote unquote satanic gathering. Like, in my experience, people really into the occult, they're just huge nerds.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing scary about them. They're no scarier than a Trekkie or something at a Star Trek convention.
Or they're horny. That's the other thing. Everybody wants to have a bit of power so they can get laid. It's just, it doesn't matter if it's Jesus or Satan. It always ends up in the sack. And it's always somebody banging your girlfriend or your wife if it's for the good of the coven or the church. Like, you know, but it's always a preacher with a boner, man. Always.
I will say the satanic, kind of the occult goth chicks, way hotter for me.
Yes.
If I have to sleep with one side or the other, easy decision. I want the black makeup, the fishnet stockings, give me lots of tattoos, like that kind of suicide girl look. Please.
Yes. Yeah, no, otherwise it's Big Bush Sally with a flannel nightgown.
Right. Who's going to lay there just like a doll, hating every moment of it.
Dude, I think it's best that we don't live in the same state. I was getting ready to say, why don't we live in the same place? But I think it's best. It's too much. We would. I feel like I would just, your wife would be like, look, he showed up again today. He just never leaves.
I know you love, Damian Nichols lives in New Orleans, by the way. But one of these days we'll have to meet up. I know I'm the problem on that. I'm lightening my schedule a little bit so I have more time to hang out and stuff, but we'd have so much fun.
Well, give me a picture of everything. Is there a new tour that we're going to see? Are you going to come to Kansas City? Are you spending all your time doing, of course, I mean, how many hours a week are you putting cast together? I mean...
Yeah, still putting, you know, like 40-plus hours a week on that. I mean right now I've been focusing on this Nightmare Fuel, these little fictional horror episodes that have been fun and just putting together a bunch of those podcast episodes and going to put a book together of those and see how I can do with an author in that space. And then also talking to some agents and stuff about, you know, trying to get some of these adapted, you know, possibly see if any directors, producers are interested in those to try and make like a little indie horror movie or not an indie horror movie, a bigger one. So,
you know who we got to connect you with? And I don't know if you guys will laugh at the same jokes at all, but he's from Kansas City. His name is Darren Bozeman. And he directed Saw 2, 3, 4.
Oh, whoa.
And Spiral with Sam Jackson. And he came in and did a haunt this year. He married up with an existing haunted trail, and they did an entire psychodrama situation. It was really good.
Oh, whoa.
And he's an interesting cat. So I got to know him a little bit better this year. And you guys, I feel like you would really like each other, man. He did,
cool.
What was the musical he did, the super weird rock musical. It was Jake. Oh, God damn it. Now it's because I need the name of it right off the top of my head. It was, it'll come to me, but I'll send you his resume. It's super weird. He definitely is an odd duck.
I love, like, I've been meeting more people in the horror space this last year, just kind of doing cross promotions for Scared to Death with other podcasts, and they're the best people. Like the people in the horror space, just the nicest, sweetest, but also weird, super weird. But I love that weird. A really just great group of people.
Yeah. By the way, Repo the Genetic Opera. That's what I was fighting in my head for.
Repo the Genetic Opera?
Yeah, so he's just, it's all weird with this cat. But he's shooting in India right now, and I'll definitely I'll call him up and I'll give you guys each other your numbers, and if you guys want to meet each other, maybe there's something interesting that can happen there.
Oh, thanks, man. The concert or the movie poster for Repo the Genetic Opera is awesome.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, times suck. It's better and better. It's available everywhere. I can't wait to see you. And I hope you come out on tour. I hope you come through Kansas City and sell out another theater.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I think I'll tour again here in a, I don't know exactly when, but for sure. For sure. We'll see. We'll see what the culture is looking like in the next year or two. It's going to go one direction or the other. We got a weird week ahead of us, so probably not the best week to do acid and go wander around. I would not recommend that this week.
Or stay home. Or man, maybe just is the time. Maybe like, but then again, you know, because I live I've got that 30 acres. Like that's what needs to happen. You need to come to Kansas City. We'll shut the gate on Disgraceland. Get some flamethrowers out. Get some provisions and wander about the woods for a while.
Oh yeah, we can get real weird out there. I picture myself just after a couple hours just telling you that I live in the pond now, that I'm a pond person. And dude, I can never leave.
I got stuck up a tree once telling people I was a tree person on acid. And they were eating Chinese spare ribs, and I was demanding that they get me some and throw them up to me, and that's all I would eat as I lived in a tree because I was a tree man now. That's hilarious.
I love how real that stuff feels in the moment. Oh, my gosh. I scared my wife so much. The first time she saw me, like, do a lot of it, I did too much, and I was laying in the yard. It was like a nice sunny day, and I was near tears, and I was laying on my belly in the yard, holding onto the grass with everything I had, and telling her that, like, please don't let me fall off the earth. Like, I was literally worried that I was going to just float off into space.
Dude, we one time ate a bunch of mushrooms. It was three or four of us at the house. It was in the wintertime, and for some reason, The Jim Carrey movie about Andy Kaufman was on. So
that
Man in the Moon was on, but I was listening to the Murder Dolls first record and on CD, and so that was up. That was the audio, but the visual was the Andy Kaufman movie. And I ran out of firewood, so I started breaking up wooden stools and anything extra wood in my house to keep the fire going in the living room because I was insistent, you can't let the fire go out. And
We'll die.
And my girlfriend said, take your shoes off and relax. And I go, never take your shoes off. And she got serious and goes, why? Because you never know when you're going to have to leave, God damn it. You never know when you're going to have to leave. And
I love all the epiphanies.
Oh, I broke up frames. I broke up picture frames. I broke up stools that were downstairs. There was nothing organic that was burnable left in my house when I woke up the next day.
And I love it. In those moments, like, yeah, you had to do that. Like, there was no question. It must be done. It has to be done. I just love how committed we are to these weird decisions in these moments.
No, dude. Good times, man. Man, again, I hope you come to Kansas City sooner. I'll come out and visit you. I hope the family is wonderful. All the kids are good.
Yeah, everybody's good.
I would have never dreamed, and I don't think you could have either, man, when we first met, you would have so much going on in 2024 that you have to push stuff backwards a little bit and put, you know, and tour a little less, do a couple less podcasts, you know, do a little less writing because you're so full all the time now.
Yeah, me either. It's an interesting time, you know, to be a creative person where there's just so many options that you can do and so many different ways you can make a living, you know, creating different types of content. It's exciting, a little overwhelming in moments, you know, but definitely, yeah, definitely excited. I never would have guessed this either. I thought it was just stand up. Well, and I love stand up, but now there's other things to do too.
Hunter S. Thompson, man, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro.
Oh man, he would have been fun to trip with, my guy.
Oh, I would do anything to go back in time and get high with him. Are you kidding me? Just get out the guns. Let's eat the mushrooms. Let's go.
Let's do that. Let's figure out. Let's get a time machine. Let's go hang out with Hunter Thompson. And let's also, we're going to go back to San Francisco in 1969 or 67, whichever the summer love was.
Yep.
We can go back. I don't think it counts as cheating if you're in a different time era. So you can go back in time.
Absolutely.
And you can just have a bunch of hippie sex and do a bunch of acid, and it'll be great.
I concur. It's a date. Dan Cummins.
Done. I'll start working on the time machine. I got some aluminum foil, some screws, some bolts. See what I can do.
Well, after this election is over, I feel like there's going to be a free-flowing aluminum hat market. So,
Oh, yeah. Good times to be flag sellers. Good times to be aluminum hat sellers.
Oh, dude. Dude, I have to send you a picture of my the flag. I didn't put it up this year, but the last time it got super political flag everywhere in my neighborhood, I found a flag that was Kim Jong-un in front of a nuclear submarine smoking, and it simply had in beautiful calligraphy, live, laugh, love on it. And I flew that for 3 months.
Oh, that's so good. So confusing, because you know they're like, whose side is he on? Yeah. Well, what's happened?
Oh, dude, anytime, brother. Man, it's good to hear your voice. I hope to catch up soon.
Oh, good to hear you, man. Love you, man.
Love you, brother. Great. Great dang guy.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.